This is the This Is Gonna Hurt podcast with J. Gordon Duncan. Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the This Is Gonna Hurt podcast with J. Gordon Duncan. And if you're wondering why the J, the answer is, I'm not a bagpipe player. And if that joke doesn't make any sense, I encourage you to check out episode 0, where I explain that joke, as well as the purpose of the This Is Gonna Hurt podcast, where we talk about faith, family, fitness, finances, and sometimes fun. Well, friends, welcome back. Great to have you all here. I'm very thankful that you would tune in again. I'm just stunned. I mean, we're here in the fourth season. I say this almost every episode. I don't mind just saying it over and over again. I'm so very thankful for everyone who listens. I bumped into someone the other day, and they're like, I listened to your podcast, and I'm always like, thank you so much. It means a ton that anyone would listen to the podcast. So thank you so much. I also want to say thank you to everyone who has turned to the brand new podcast with Emma entitled You're Entitled to Your Opinion. Thank you. Episode 3 will come out tomorrow. You'll probably be listening to this on Monday. The next episode will come out every Tuesday. So I appreciate that. She's been on the show a lot. It doesn't mean that she won't be here anymore. You'll probably see her a little bit less and less. But in the last month, Emma's been here twice on this show trying to promote the new one. So definitely get over there and check that one out. I appreciate it. But in today's episode, what I'd like to do is return to a little bit of the This Is Gonna Hurt purpose. We have talked about overcoming obstacles. And if you want to overcome an obstacle, it's going to require some pain, because you've got to go through the difficulty of getting there. And if you aren't resilient and you don't push through the pain, then you aren't going to make the changes you want. So I really want to talk about a topic that I think is overused, incredibly relevant, and it applies to business professionals, it applies to entrepreneurs, it applies to pastors, moms. But the topic that keeps coming up so much is the topic of self-care. Now, if you're on Instagram or Facebook, self-care will be anything from someone paying for a luxury spa service to having their nails done to just taking a moment of silence. It's become a popular term. It's become pretty ubiquitous. It's everywhere. And it's basically become fodder for social media anytime you do something for yourself. Now, self-care is incredibly important. You've only got one body. You've only got one mind. If you don't take care of it, you're going to struggle. It's going to break down. And so there are elements where we do have to take care of ourselves, because if we don't take care of ourselves, then we're going to get sick, we're going to get injured, we're going to get discouraged, and then we can't run our businesses, we can't lead our churches, we can't be there for our families. So let me read a little bit. It's a portion from a book called The Self-Reliant Entrepreneur by John Jantzt, and if I mispronounce his name, I'm very sorry. It's a daily reading for business owners. It comes from a post that's actually around here. It's August 17th. I think that will be the date after you're listening to this. But this is what he says in that idea, and he's speaking specifically to entrepreneurs. But again, I think it applies to lots of us. So he says this. He says, entrepreneurs beat themselves up pretty routinely. Sure, being an entrepreneur takes a mental toll, but it's physically and spiritually draining as well. That's the part few acknowledge. So let me stop right there. Having a conversation this week with a buddy of mine who also owns several businesses in the area. And then I was having a conversation with another business owner. And the conversation was around that sometimes it takes so much out of you to own and run a business. And a lot of people don't know it. And that's fine. You're not looking for everybody to acknowledge how hard it is for you to start your own business. We're the ones who decided to start it. But the point being is that it just takes a ton out of us to run our businesses. I'll give you an example. Just Friday, all of a sudden, in the midst of the day, I've got to stop. I'm not, I do have a bookkeeper and accountant, but there's things bookkeeping and accounting wise I've got to do, and it plays its part into payroll. I've got people on payroll now. And so just in the midst of my Friday with goals to hit, I've got to stop and I've got to hit those things, because if they don't get taken care of, then people don't get paid, my books get messed up, it goes on and on and on. And it's just It's just taxing. And you can beat yourself up. You're like, am I doing enough? Am I working hard enough? And a lot of times you just feel like you aren't. Even though you're doing everything in you to just keep working and working and working and to be smart with your time. I think that's one of my daily prayers. One of my evening prayers is that God would give me wisdom for the running of my business. And thankfully, I have people around me. But the point of this passage is to say, you know, entrepreneurs beat themselves up pretty regularly. So, back to the passage. He says, running a business is an extreme sport. If you're going to make it, you have to adopt a mindset of extreme self-care. I agree with that, because owning and running your business or solo pastoring or taking care of people, it's a lot like the endurance sports that I run regularly. And when people ask me, what is it that I love about endurance sports, I'll tell them, it prepares me for other facets of life. It prepares me to do well in other difficult areas. So when I'm in that moment where I've got to just push through, I have the mental experience and I have the mental fortitude to keep going, because that's what I train myself in with every day, with running and biking and other things like that. So running a business is an extreme sport. Back to the passage. He says, for some, self-care feels selfish. But let's face it, if the car breaks down, you're not getting to where you're going. So think of it as preventative maintenance if you must. If you're out to save the world, self-care is the most selfless option. Sometimes taking that extra moment to have a lunch in solitude, or that extra moment to just get caught up and maybe turn all the devices off, or taking that time in the morning to exercise. That hour, you could be getting things done, but if you take that 45 minutes to an hour for exercise, you are taking care of yourself. You're preparing yourself for things later on in the day. But there are moments where it just feels selfish. Like, am I doing the right thing with my time? The author goes on to say, self-care requires forming new habits. It requires intention. Guys, this is 100% true. If you want to care for yourself so that you can perform in an optimal manner, care for yourself so that you're present in your business, care for yourself so you're there for your family or run your church or whatever the case may be, it requires intention. You've got to form new habits. You've got to do something over and over and over and over again until it is a habit. And so don't get me wrong, if you just get a second to breathe and you just go breathe, that's very wise for you. But if you want those elements of self-care to become part of your regular life, then you've got to figure out, you've got to create, a discipline for those things so that they become regular. Every night, I go get my workout clothes and I put them downstairs. So I go down to the bottom of the steps and I hang a right and it's there. I've done a whole podcast about this. But I do that, one, it eliminates excuses. It's the first thing I see. And I'm going to go into my routine a little bit later. But you've got to create those moments, those habits, and those disciplines if you want to do it well. So when he says it requires intention, what the author does then is he goes through some intentional disciplines of mind, body, and spirit. So for the mind, he says, you've got to defriend the negative, whatever that looks like. Read for inspiration each day. Ask someone how their day is going and listening. Meditate or pray. Fix something that's been bothering you. We've got to train our minds. We've got to work on our minds in such a way that it's a muscle like any other. So, for me, what that means is that I've got to read good content. I've got to listen to informative podcasts. I've got to create the discipline to remind myself of my goals and why I'm doing things, and do it in such a way that when I do face temptation or I do face discouragement, then I have something that pops up in my head to keep me going. So, for example, when maybe we lose a client, or we might lose a client, and those things pop up, and it's tempting at that point in time to delve into negative thoughts. And I do it just like anyone else. but I have been doing my best to create a discipline so that when those things happen, I give myself space for the emotion and the thoughts, and then I move on. So, for example, I tell folks often, if it's a really, really tough day and negative things happen, I'll allow myself to think through those things. But I tell myself good and optimistic things to come, but I never let those things go until the next day. So I tell myself, okay, think through this today. This is difficult, but I know that tomorrow morning I got to start thinking differently. I got to start thinking optimistically and faithfully and purposefully. And so I give myself the parameters to actually think through things, so I don't live in denial, but I also give myself the deadline to start all over again. So if I'm discouraged, I start thinking through the things that are difficult. I try to do that for the day, and then the next day I tell myself, okay, it's time to get back to it. The author goes on to talk about body. Everything from, he says, put on SPF 45 before leaving the house, stretch for 5 minutes every hour, develop a love of exercise, take dance breaks, learn about aromatherapy, take 15-minute naps. If your body breaks down, you are not going to be able to care for others, run your business, lead your church, whatever the case may be. Like I said earlier, I put my workout clothes, I come downstairs, hang a right, and they're right there. And I know that's the plan. And that 90% of the time, I hit that goal. I'm like, okay, there it is. I've got a time frame. I got to get to work. Every now and then, it'll get pushed to the afternoon. But even if I do that, it's because I'm caring for my body. I'm like, I needed a little bit extra sleep. But I create the accountability to remove the excuses. Listen, I know you might look at me and go, but Gordon, you love working out. I do. But there's days where I'm like, I can't do it. I can't do it. Right now, in the midst of my training for the Boston Marathon, I'm in that phase where my body's pretty beaten up. I'm adding on the miles. I'm pushing myself further. Again, I'm coming back from injury, so I had that six-week period where I wasn't doing things as much as I used to. Right now, I'm in that moment where it's harder and harder. However, I've also put in the parameters and the accountability structures that I've got to take care of my body. Now, aside from training the Boston Marathon, if I do those things well, my body is going to be able to respond. I'm going to be there for the things that I need to do. And if I don't, it's not going to be. So that's why I try to take care of my body. I'm 50 now. I don't recover as quickly as I used to. I've got to put the time into my body, because if I don't, it's only going to go down and down and down and down. So I don't say that to discourage you. I'm going to say just start each day. Give me that 5 minutes, if that's what you've got to do, to begin caring for your body. Move for a 10-minute break, do some stretching, 5 minutes a day, whatever the case may be. Get started on movement so that you can move a body, move a muscle, move your mind, and you can move steps towards being more present and being healthy. And finally, the author says, spirit, get more laughter, send a random thank you note every day, identify animal shapes in the clouds, buy the best quality, make a tiny connection with a stranger, whatever the case may be. So for me, part of that morning routine, I come downstairs, and I put my headphones on, and I immediately listen to, this is my routine, 15 minutes of scripture reading, and I get a cup of coffee, and I literally sit in the floor. I sit in the floor, and I'm listening to the scriptures, I'm drinking that first cup of coffee, and I'm getting ready. And then during that time, I probably put on my shoes and socks, and I'm getting ready to work out. But I take that first 15 minutes. It's odd, I don't know why I do it, but I sit in the floor, I drink my cup of coffee, and I take that first 15 minutes for scripture reading. And for me, that spiritual aspect of that gets me going for the day. And if I don't take time for it there, it's going to be more and more difficult. And so, listen, I'm not a guy who does well with silence, and I have to work really hard to get it. But I know that I've got to nourish my soul. And for me, it's that first 15 minutes of every single day, when I come down, I get in the floor with my cup of coffee, and I listen to my Bible reading. So for me, guys, those are some of the intentions, some of the things I do for self-care to get me there. The workouts, other things on top of that. I got to get enough sleep. I got to drink enough water. Those things are essential. But putting those things in place. I'm going to read good stuff. I'm going to listen to good stuff. Body, I'm going to work out every day. I do 6 days of training, and then I do 1 day where I don't bike or run. But even on that 1 day, I do at least 30 minutes of stretching. So basically, I'm doing something every single day. Spiritually, taking some moment to pray, taking some moment to study the scriptures, nourish your spirit. If you don't do that, you're going to have a hard time flourishing as an entrepreneur, a professional, as a parent, as a pastor. Those are some of the disciplines. So, guys, I'll put the link to this book in the show notes. And I appreciate listening to this. And again, if you have questions about what self-care looks like, reach out to me. I'd be glad to share anything I can. I am not a personal trainer, but I feel like the things I've gone through, I can share with you and would help you. I appreciate you tuning in. Again, this is Monday. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, we have a brand new episode with me and Emma and our new show, You're Entitled to Your Opinion, and the Capitalize Your Best podcast and Church Training podcast. Those are going to be launching really soon, so keep an ear out. Friends, thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.